Thank you for listening to this sermon recorded at the Lost River Church of Christ. For more information, check out our website at lostriverchurch.org or call us at 270-843-3163. We consider it an honor to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you completely free of charge. Have a great day and enjoy the sermon.
Wonderful to see everyone this morning and to be able to be a part of this celebration of what God has accomplished in defeating the powers that control and dominate humanity and human history through His Son, Jesus Christ, who He gave to come into this world and to show us the way and to live a life of love and devotion and faithfulness to His Father, and then willingly surrender that life on the cross for the sins of the world and for sinners like you and like me. And it is a joy to be able to sing and to celebrate and to remember what's been accomplished on our behalf. This morning we're going to begin a series of lessons on the topic of grace. And I'm sort of calling the series Amazing Grace, because what else are you going to call a series of sermons on grace? I don't know this for an absolute fact. I haven't done any research on it, but I have very, very little doubt that the greatest, most well-known and probably most sung hymn in the history of the world is the song Amazing Grace. And the story behind that is something I hope at some point in the series to remind you of if you haven't heard it before. But grace is an amazing thing. It's not interesting grace. It's not so-so grace. It's not kind of special grace. It is amazing grace when we consider the grace of God our Father and what He has bestowed upon us and the gift of His Son and the salvation that we experience in Him. And so I want to spend some time considering the significance of this very simple word in the New Testament and in the Bible. It's the Greek word charis, and it's been defined, as you probably know, as undeserved or unearned favor. Undeserved and unearned favor. You know, when you stand in need of grace, when you stand in need of forgiveness, when you stand in need of mercy and a favor, it's like when you receive that because you've got no excuse. You're caught or you're wrong, and it's obvious and everybody knows it, and you can't really compare yourself to somebody else to show yourself to be better off than they are. You're just in trouble. Then when you receive grace, it's the most refreshing and relieving thing that you can imagine. And when you're called upon to extend grace to someone else, it can be one of the most uncomfortable and unnerving and unsettling things imaginable. But when grace is rightly understood and truly received and really dispensed through you to others, it becomes the one thing that can pretty much solve everything. And I hope that this time that we spend together in this study will help all of us to understand that deeper than ever before. You know, I don't think that we can really understand grace just by looking at definitions like this. Undeserved. I don't deserve it. Do you deserve to be here? Do you deserve to be gathered around this table? Do you deserve to have been invited by the King of Kings to sit at His table and to partake of bread and juice that represent His body and His blood given on a cross for you? It is an absolutely undeserved favor that has been bestowed upon me that I have received, not because I'm worthy, not because I earned it. It is an unearned favor. And that's a little bit unsettling because as Americans, perhaps more than anyone else, we like to do things the old-fashioned way, the Smith-Barney way, those of you who are old enough to remember, and that's you earn it, right? Everything, you earn it. But when it comes to the reception of the grace of God, it is an undeserved and unearned favor. But I really don't think we can ever come to grasp it by just simply talking about it in sort of abstract terms, because grace is something that exists, really only exists, in the context of relationships. It's when we need it and we receive it. It's when we give it to another person. Those are the things that cause grace to come to life. And I hope that as we look this morning at a story of one man's life who received this undeserved in unearned favor from God, it will open our eyes to see the grace of God at work in us as well. And in particular this morning, I have in mind not necessarily those that we typically think of as being so desperately in need of God's grace. There's a class of people that easily comes to mind, especially if you're a religious person, of those folks who are in need of God's grace. And yet there is the distinct possibility that some of the most morally upright people you know, the people who seem to live up to the standard better than anyone else, may be the people who are as far away from God as anyone you have ever seen. And that's really the story of the person that we're going to be talking about this morning, who is the recipient of God's unearned and undeserving grace. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, that the aged apostle Paul, nearing the end of his life from a prison cell, wrote a letter, a personal letter, to a younger friend of his. And here's what he said to him: even though I was once a blasphemer — a blasphemer is someone who takes what is holy and treats it as if it were unholy. And in reference here, he is speaking specifically of his attitude and his words regarding Jesus Christ. There is no telling what all this man had said and forced other people to say of a derogatory nature about Jesus. And he said, I was once a blasphemer. I was once a persecutor, specifically a persecutor of God's people, of Christians, and a violent man. So here was a man who, in blasphemous terms, violently persecuted the people of God. And yet he says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly. It's grace abounding, as it says in some translations. It's a grace that overflows. It is a grace that seems to be lavish beyond all reasoning. And in terms of his past experience and who he was and what he had done, he saw the grace of God that came to him as just being an amazing and liberal outpouring of favor upon him that there's no accounting for. There's no math by human calculation that makes sense of what he received from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, this grace was poured out abundantly on me, along with faith, the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. There is so much faith in God, the God who can move mountains, the God who is mighty to save. When one finally has his eyes open to see the reality of who Christ is and what he's done for me, when that opens up, there is a faith and a confidence in God that is so much stronger and so much greater than the faith and confidence that comes from a person thinking that they're good enough, and if I try hard enough, I'll earn my way. There is something so much better than that, and it was poured out on him abundantly when at last his eyes were finally opened to see who he was and who Jesus was. And along with that, and in its train and in its way, came a love for other people that he had certainly not been characterized before, when he was a persecutor, and violently so, of God's people. But he goes on in the same context and tells his young friend Timothy that here's a trustworthy saying. Would you like to have a trustworthy saying? Something that you can say and say it with confidence? Well, here it is. He says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Christ Jesus came into this world for what purpose? Why did Jesus come? He came here to seek and save the lost. He came looking for sinners. And Paul says, I'm the worst. I was at the category of sinners, you would have to put me at the top. And sometimes we may look at that and say, oh, well, that's just sort of an expression of false humility. He's trying to describe himself maybe worse than he really thought that he was. But as we get into today's lesson, I think that you may come to understand why he thought of himself not just as a sinner in need of a little bit of grace, not just as a significant sinner in need of some more grace, but the very worst of sinners in desperate need of an outpouring of abundant grace that would be greater than all of his sin. And so let us this morning consider this worst of sinners and what that means. I think when he says, I'm the worst of sinners, he is saying, I completely missed the point.